So you're having a baby, and you want to, or have to, keep working after you become a parent. If you live in the United States, this could be a problem. The U.S. doesn't have a federal policy to guarantee paid parental leave. Ann Garrels has this report for this episode of Rights Watch.
When it comes to paid parental leave, the United States is in an exclusive club, along with Papua New Guinea and Swaziland. These are the only three countries in the world that don't have national laws requiring paid maternity leave.
In the United States, working families have far fewer protections than they would have in almost any other country.
That's Janet Walsh. She's the author of a new report on parental leave in the U.S. from Human Rights Watch.
We interviewed 64 parents across the country at all different income levels and different professions, and without a doubt, all of these parents said that they would have benefited tremendously from even a bit of support, even for a few weeks.
In most of the U.S., paid leave is left largely to the whim of employers. Many workers have no paid family or sick leave whatsoever, and about half the workforce isn't even eligible for job-protected unpaid leave. Walsh says this leads to health problems, financial problems, and career disasters.
Your options are to go back to work far sooner than is healthy for you, healthy for your baby, healthy to establish breastfeeding, and just to get back to work within weeks in some cases, or to quit. And we see that in many countries, and even in the United States, there's been studies about employers being able to retain good workers if they have decent policies for parental leave. And so you lose a lot of very qualified workers by not giving them just the basic ability to sustain their families in a short leave in a critical time and get back to work when is healthy.
Those least likely to have any paid leave are low-income workers, those who need it most. A young woman, we'll call her Samantha, is typical of dozens interviewed. She worked for a nonprofit in Brooklyn. After her son was born, she took a month of accrued vacation and sick time. An infected C-section incision forced her to take another month of unexpected, unpaid leave. After 8 weeks, Samantha had to return to work or lose her job.
8 weeks is what my job was telling me was the last week before they could hold my job any longer. So it was kind of like I had to go back that week. It wasn't something that I really wanted to do at the current time. Was I ready? I would say no. I didn't feel like I was ready to go back to work. I wanted to at least have gotten my son his second set of shots before I went back to work as well, because I knew he was going to be around other children. And those are the things that came up in my mind. But it was kind of like, you know, I have no choice. I have to, you know, get back out there and start work right away.
When Samantha got back to work, she couldn't afford to take more unpaid sick days for doctor's visits. The only place she could pump breast milk was in a highly trafficked, unhygienic public restroom with no electrical outlet. She had to stop breastfeeding. And when she couldn't work late shifts after daycare closed, she was let go. Her savings were exhausted, as well as her once stellar credit.
I had two student loans I had to put on deferment. My credit cards went into default, so I ended up filing for bankruptcy. So it really, you know, made a big dent in my life, because it's like now I have to wait another 3 to 5 years to build my credit again and to get back on my feet to save. It really put us back.
Samantha's trying to start her own business now so she can have a more flexible schedule.
It's really embarrassing and dreadful that a country as rich as the U.S. treats its families so poorly.
Janet Gornick is professor of political science at the City University of New York Graduate Center. She's an expert on family leave. She says many European countries have excellent policies in place.
In most of these countries, if you give birth or adopt, first of all, you'll have 3 to 5 months in any of the continental countries, similarly in the Nordic countries, of fully paid 100% leave with the right to hold your job and return to it. If you're in a partnership, in some cases a same-sex partnership, certainly in a heterosexual partnership, your use of maternity leave can be supplemented by your own use of some parental leave after the maternity leave. Your male partner can also take parental leave in many cases up to 6 months frequently. So between you and your partner, you can keep a child at home, certainly throughout the first year of life, as you wish, with a large part of your pay.
Gornick says there's no evidence such programs hurt the overall economy.
Virtually every country in the world has figured out that paid maternity leave is feasible. And nearly every rich country has figured out that paid parental leave is feasible, and these programs are maintained during periods of reassessment and retrenchment and restructuring. And there are six countries that I've studied quite a bit that have very good programs of paid leave and childcare. That's Norway, Sweden, Denmark, Finland, France, and Belgium. And across virtually every outcome, the results are better in those countries.
Janet Walsh of Human Rights Watch points to successful, if modest, programs in California and New Jersey, the only two states with public paid family leave insurance programs.
In New Jersey, for example, workers pay a maximum of $18 a year into a paid family leave insurance fund. This insurance fund then makes it possible for workers to tap into paid family leave benefits for a short time, for about 6 weeks after childbirth or adoption, for example, and get about $560 a month. So this is not some enormous contribution by employees. In fact, there's no government or employer contribution to this fund, but that little contribution makes it possible for workers who really need help at a critical time to get some basic support. So this has not been devastating to other economies. In fact, it's been helpful.
International treaties have long recognized the need to provide better support for working families. Human Rights Watch says it's time for the U.S. to sign on and begin a vigorous public debate on how to implement these policies across the country. I'm Ann Garrels.
And that's Rights Watch for today. Human Rights Watch is an independent organization dedicated to defending and protecting human rights around the world. For more about us, including audio, video, and multimedia features, please visit hrw.org. You can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. Thanks for listening to Rights Watch. I'm Jesse Graham.